Chapter 55, John's Secret of True Sanctification. In the life of John, true sanctification is exemplified. During the years of his close association with Christ, he was often warned by the Savior, and these reproofs he accepted. He saw his deficiencies and was humbled by the revelation. Day by day his heart was drawn out to Christ, until he lost sight of self in love for his Master. The strength and patience that he saw in the Son of God filled his soul with admiration. He yielded his resentful, ambitious temper to Christ, and divine love wrought transformation of character. In striking contrast is the experience of Judas, who professed to be a disciple of Christ but possessed only a form of godliness. Often as he listened to the Savior's words, conviction came, but he would not humble his heart or confess his sins. By resisting the divine influence, he dishonored the Master. John warred earnestly against his faults, but Judas violated his conscience, fastening on himself more securely his habits of evil. The truth Christ taught was at variance with his desires, and he could not yield his ideas. Covetousness, revengeful passions, dark and sullen thoughts, were cherished until Satan gained full control of him. John and Judas had the same opportunities. Both were closely associated with Jesus. Each possessed serious defects of character, each had access to divine grace. But while one was learning of Jesus, the other was a hearer only. One, daily overcoming sin, was sanctified through the truth, the other, resisting the transforming power of grace and indulging selfish desires, was brought into bondage to Satan. Transformation as seen in John is the result of communion with Christ. There may be defects in the character, yet when one becomes a true disciple of Christ, he is changed until he is like him whom he adores. In his letters, John wrote, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." As God is holy in his sphere, so fallen man, through faith in Christ, is to be holy in his sphere. Sanctification is God's object in all his dealings with his people. He has chosen them from eternity, that they might be holy. He gave his Son to die for them that they might be divested of all the littleness of self. God can be honored only as they are conformed to his image and controlled by his Spirit. Then they may make known what divine grace has done for them. True sanctification comes through the working out of the principle of love. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The life of him in whose heart Christ abides will be ennobled. Pure doctrine will blend with works of righteousness. Those who would gain the blessings of sanctification must first learn the meaning of self-sacrifice. The cross of Christ is the central pillar on which hangs the eternal weight of glory. If any man will come after me, Christ says, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. God upholds and strengthens the one who is willing to follow in Christ's way. True sanctification is a life work. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, an hour, a day, but of a lifetime. It is not gained by a happy flight of feeling, but is the result of constantly dying to sin and constantly living for Christ. Not by intermittent efforts, but by persevering discipline and stern conflict, we shall overcome. So long as Satan reigns, we shall have self to subdue, besetting sins to overcome. So long as life shall last, there will be no point which we can reach and say, I have fully attained. Sanctification is the result of lifelong obedience. None of the apostles or prophets ever claimed to be without sin. Men who have lived nearest to God, who would sacrifice life itself rather than knowingly commit a wrong act, have confessed the sinfulness of their nature. They have claimed no righteousness of their own, but have trusted wholly in the righteousness of Christ. The more clearly we discern the purity of Christ's character, the more clearly shall we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. There will be a continual confession of sin and humbling of the heart before Him. At every advance step our repentance will deepen. We shall confess, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not God be dishonored by the declaration from human lips, I am sinless, I am holy." Sanctified lips will never give utterance to such presumptuous words. Let those who feel inclined to make a high profession of holiness look into the mirror of God's law. As they understand its work as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, they will not boast of sinlessness. If, says John, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are those who profess holiness, who claim a right to the promises of God, while refusing to obey his commandments. But this is presumption. True love for God will be revealed in obedience to all his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. John did not teach that salvation is to be earned by obedience, but obedience is the fruit of faith and love. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If we abide in Christ, our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, will be in harmony with the will of God. The sanctified heart is in harmony with the precepts of God's law. Faith is the key to overcoming. Many, though striving to obey God's commandments, have little peace or joy. Such do not correctly represent sanctification. The Lord would have all his sons and daughters happy, peaceful, and obedient. Through faith the believer possesses these blessings. Through faith, every deficiency of character may be supplied, every defilement cleansed, every fault corrected, every excellence developed. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the development of character. For pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Christ-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do his work, for any gift he has promised, we may ask, and the promise is, ye shall receive. It is in the secret place of communion that we are to contemplate God's glorious ideal for humanity. In all ages, through the medium of communion with heaven, God has worked out his purpose for his children by unfolding to their minds gradually the doctrines of grace. True sanctification means perfect love, perfect obedience, perfect conformity to the will of God. We are to be sanctified through obedience to the truth. It is our privilege to cut away from the entanglements of self and sin and advance to perfection. Many interpret the will of God to be what they will to do. These have no conflicts with self. Others for a time sincerely struggle against their selfish desire for pleasure and ease, but grow weary of daily death, of ceaseless turmoil. Death to self seems repulsive, and they fall under the power of temptation instead of resisting it. The Word of God leaves no room for compromise with evil. At whatever sacrifice of ease or selfish indulgence, of labor or suffering, Christ's followers must maintain a constant battle with self. The greatest praise we can bring to God is to become consecrated channels through whom he can work. Let us not refuse God that which, though it cannot be given with merit, cannot be denied without ruin. He asks for a whole heart, give it. It is his, both by creation and redemption. He asks for your intellect, give it. It is his. He asks for your money, give it. It is his. Ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. God holds up before us the highest ideal, perfection. He asks us to be absolutely and completely for him in this world as he is for us in the presence of God. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. Is it your will also? If you humble your heart and confess your sins, trusting in the merits of Jesus, He will forgive and cleanse you. God demands entire conformity to His law. Let your heart be filled with an intense longing for His righteousness. As you contemplate the unsearchable riches of God's grace, you will come into possession of them and will reveal the merits of the Savior's sacrifice, the protection of His righteousness, and His power to present you before the Father without spot, and blameless.